Like I said, at the beginning of the year, you know, people, most of us, we tend to make resolutions, pledges, or promises, you know, based on what happened last year that we love to accomplish. I mean, like I said, many of us wanted to go on vacation. We couldn't. And many plans, you know, many of you got sick. You know, nobody planned for that, to get sick. But there were so many things that happened last year, you know. And it's like everyone was looking forward to 2021. So, I mean, 2020 was an incredible, challenging year for many of us. Horrible years for many. Filled with sicknesses, deaths, loss of jobs, opportunities, businesses were closed. You were isolated from families and friends. You know, and so many things. You know, people are still grieving something that happened last year, 2020. Now, 2020, believe it or not, even though Facebook is going to remind you last year, or next year, this year, of what happened, what you did 2020, 2020 is already part of our legacy. It's already part of our history. You and I cannot delete that. It's already there. It's now it's in the past, but it's still part of our legacy. We all lived through that, and we're still living and seeing the effect of what happened in 2020. Like I said, 2020 has certainly been depressing to many of us, even to many in our world, because it brought many unwanted changes. You know, we all had to change our lives, didn't we? You see, every year, you and I need to understand this, every year will bring their own challenges. Challenges that we might not even be ready for them. Every year is going to bring the challenges, every year is going to bring joy, sadness. It's just like Ecclesiastes said at times, peace, war, health, sicknesses, every year will bring. As long as we live on this in this world, we're going to go through that. And I don't want to discourage you, but you know, I just want you to realize this is the reality of our lives on earth. Seasons change. Even the seasons will change. Now we're in the winter. We're looking forward to spring. At least I am. You know, and so things will change. And we're hoping and praying that this year will bring more light, that we see the light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, that's our prayer for all of us, that we see great changes happening to our bodies, to our lives, to our nation. Definitely that 2021 is way better than 2020. You know, stores go through what we know as they take inventory, and they have to take inventory why they sold better in 2020 so that they can do better in 2021. And so every store, they would take inventory of the products, what sold, you know, what people wanted. You know, they had to evaluate, assess the products that they sell, what worked, what didn't. You know, they do these things in order to improve the quality of their products so that the customer, you know, to better serve their customers. Now, taking inventory. You know, you and I do that too, consciously or unconsciously. We take inventory of our lives. We assess our lives. We evaluate our own lives. Like, we do that with our budgets, some things that we like. That's taking inventory. What did we do 2020 that we maybe can improve on 2021? That's taking an inventory. We all do that. At school, when you do bad in a grade, you have to do some changes. It's like, you know, what can I do better to get better grades this year? That's taking an inventory. But let me just challenge us this morning with that question. Have you taken lately an inventory of your life? I mean, I know Facebook would do it for all of us. I mean, reminding us what we did a year or so ago. But taking an inventory of your life, examining your goals, examining your lives, your failures, your successes, your families, your friendships, that's, you take inventory of that. We have lost friends. We have gained new ones. Sounds like Optimus Prime. We have lost some. We have gained new ones. And so that's as you take an inventory. I mean, maybe there's some friends that you might have to let go for a while, because perhaps they're not promoting health to you or promoting positivity. It's all about negativity, and then you just have to put them, you know, kick them to the curb for a while. That's how, I mean, people do that, they take an inventory of their lives. You see, when I think about evaluating or assessing my life, I am reminded of what Joshua, the successor of Moses, did with the nation of Israel. Joshua took an inventory, and he had to remind them of the past because they were already living in the present so that they would do better in the future. Joshua 24, we see that text right there for us this morning. You see, this is right when Israel is about to enter and possess the land. Remember, they wandered 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert with Moses. And then Moses finally, you know, he died. And then Joshua is the new leader. And Joshua became this great military leader that the Lord used to bring Israel from the wilderness, from the desert, into the land that the Lord swore that he would give them. A land prosperous, flowing with milk and honey, as it is described in the Bible. So right before they went and possessed the land, it's almost like you're going to go into something new now, just like a new year. Let me remind you of how the Lord has been guiding you every step of the way. Joshua 24. If you read that text, the whole chapter, you see that Joshua reviewed the history of Israel. And I just want to point out some of the verses right there for you and I this morning to give you more background. If you are right there in chapter 24, Joshua, I'm reading the ESV, Blue Bibles, on your chairs. See, Joshua 24 says, Joshua, verse 1, gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan, and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and I gave Esau the hill country and Seir to possess. So, right from the beginning, chapter 24, the background, Joshua, they're ready. They're not fighting any more battles right now. They just, you know, the Lord gave him peace, and they're about to enter and enjoy their inheritance. 12 tribes. It's almost like we made it, just like you and I, like we made it to 2021 and we're still alive, thank God. We made it. The Lord got us through all the wilderness, and we are here today because the Lord brought us here. So they're about to enjoy possession of the land, and Joshua reminded them of their history. And so when you review like verses 5 through 7, 1 through 13, the Lord had Joshua review the ancestral history, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the patriarchs. You know, these are the founding fathers of the nation of Israel, if you will. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And then Jacob had 12 sons, and they became the patriarchs of the whole nation of Israel. So God already saying, hey, remember your great, great, great granddaddy, they lived there, and I did that for them, and I care, and then I had their sons and their daughters, and I did this for them. So you're gonna find phrases there like, I gave him, I protected you, I provided for you. So he reviewed, then later on verses 5 through 7, talks about Moses and Aaron. Look at verses 5 and 7. And I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it. And afterward, I brought you out. So it talks about the Exodus. Then I brought, verse 6, then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued you. You know what he's talking about, right? The Red Sea. So you see, he's reviewing the whole history. And you wonder, why? Why is that important? To review where you've been before you go where you are supposed to go now. Reviewing the whole history with key elements like Moses and Aaron. Then verse 7 through 12, he talks about the wilderness wandering, what they did over there, how God provided for them. And then finally, verse 13, he talks about the possession of the land. Let me read that for you. Verse 13 says, I gave you a land of which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built. And you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. So God had Joshua, the leader, to review the whole history of Israel. And there were key elements right there. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Aaron, wilderness wandering. And finally, you are now to enter and possess the land. When you review the history of Israel, there are two things that I want to leave with you Like, if you don't remember anything else I said about the sermon, I want you to really pay attention to these two things that I see in the history of Israel that are constant. Everything changed in the history of Israel, but two things remain the same. You know what those two things are? God's presence and God's faithfulness. He was always with them. He provided. When the Egyptians pursued them, God's presence right there opened the sea for the Israelites. They went. He provided for them. He protected them. He fought their battles. So his presence was constant with them. Even when they disobeyed God, he was always with them. For 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. You know how many things happened in the wilderness. They rebel against God, against Moses and Aaron, and God still providing for them. That was part of the history. And then, you see, his presence was the distinguishing mark of the nation of Israel. It was, God's presence was what distinguished Israel from all the other nations of the earth. The Lord already had made a pledge, a promise. If you serve me, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Even though the whole earth is mine, you will be to me a treasure possession. It's almost like you'll be my nation. And you see, even today, people treat Israel like, you know, because that's where they get it from. You know, like even countries will support Israel because always being God's nation. You know, God selected Israel for a plan and purpose. Even though Israel failed, you know, to fulfill God's plan, but God chose them for a specific purpose. And he said, I'm going to be with you. And everybody knew it, even the Egyptians, like when they were battling, they said to themselves, this is the finger of God. The Lord is fighting on their behalf. Because to go against Israel was to go against God, because his presence was always with them. And the enemies knew it. See, it was the presence of the Lord that distinguished them. And you notice that I took your father Abraham, I sent, I brought, I delivered you, I blessed you, I fought for you, I gave you enemies into your hands. You're going to read all those phrases in the history of Israel. God had promised to be with them, and he fulfilled it. And now Joshua reminded the people of all those years in which God's presence was always, always evident among their people. My friends, you and I can do the same even today, because 2020, you and I can say God's presence was still in our midst. And another thing that you see, God's presence and God's faithfulness. He was still faithful. Even perhaps when you got sick and you're still battling, the Lord is still faithful to you. You're still alive. You're still here. He has not abandoned you. So those two things are constant. That did not change, even though the people changed, but God's presence was always there, and God's faithfulness was evident in providing and protecting them. God was faithful to them to bring them now to the land that he swore to give them. They're about to enjoy and possess their inheritance. And so that's why Joshua is reviewing the history. The Lord wanted them not to forget how they got there. You know, that's what the past is. Remember, so some things that happen so you don't repeat it. The Lord got you from that. You know, you don't live in the past, but you can look back to see like, wow, I can see God's traces. I can see how he protected me. He provided for me. And I was clueless back there, but then he brought me where I am. So it serves as a compass to guide you like, well, yeah. So the Lord did not want Israel to forget, and that's why, hey, remember, he provided for you back there, and he will continue to provide for you now. So that's the history of God's people, the Israelites, or Hebrews. Now, look at what Joshua does in verse 14 through following. After he reviewed the history, now he's going to bring a challenge to the people. Like, okay, you guys are going to go to your land, and I might not see you for a while. Don't forget the Lord. And so he challenges the people with these words. Look at verse 14. Now, therefore, you know, it's a connecting word. Therefore, it said, because of what I told you about what the Lord provided, his presence and his faithfulness has been going through you. Therefore, he said, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. He said, put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are dwelling. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua is challenging the Israelites, the people, the whole nation. I mean, remember, he got all the elders of the nation. He got all the judges. Everyone is there. And it's like, right before you go and enjoy your inheritance, remember this. He said, commit yourself to fear God. Fear God, he says. So that's one of the challenges that Joshua posed to the people. Now, Joshua noticed a lack of commitment from the people during those years in the desert, in the wilderness, as they traveled to the land of the promise. Now, he said, now, therefore, fear God and serve him in sincerity. In other words, serve God with all authenticity and in truth and in faithfulness. You see, Scripture teaches us that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, is the beginning of wisdom. Both the Psalms and the Proverbs will tell you the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you know, in the word for fear, you have this idea of reverence, like you, when you stand in awe of something that's way mightier, way greater than you. You fear that. It's almost like you respect him so much. So just fear God and serve him with all faithfulness. Somebody said, when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Because you know, you see how mighty, how great he is. And so, he said, fear the Lord and serve him. Exodus 20:20, Moses told the people that the fear of the Lord will keep him from sinning. So I'm like, you will think about God before you do anything stupid. You will think about, maybe the Lord does not like that. So the fear of God, the reverence that you have for him will keep you from doing a lot of bad things in this life. And you wonder why we have so much issue in our society. It's because people have lost the fear of God. People don't respect them anymore. And so it's like they use the name of Jesus for, you know, as a curse word now. So they have lost that fear, the aspect of stand in reverence, because he is way greater than us. And we need to give him the proper respect, the proper adoration and fear. So Joshua tell the people, fear the Lord as you go. Because when in chapter 19 and 20 of Exodus, the Lord came down, everybody was panicking because there was smoke on the mountain. That's the time that the Lord gave Moses the tablets. And people were like panicking, and Moses said, don't worry. The Lord have come down so that his fear will keep you from sinning. The fear of God will keep us from doing bad things, because then we think about like, will God be pleased if I do this, if I react this way? So the fear of God always constant. So fear God as you go and enjoy the inheritance. He said, like I say, if we truly fear God, we would not do certain things. A God-fearing person operates by God's agenda. You always hear about people in the Bible, there's a God-fearing like Nicodemus, and he always did things. And Peter encountered this man, and he was, the Bible says he was a God-fearing. Noah was God-fearing in the society that he lived in. God-fearing. So in other words, they did things according to God and not according to the society. So a God-fearing person operates by God's agenda. And Joshua is challenging the Israelites to operate by God's agenda as they go and enjoy the land. So he's challenging the people to be God-fearing in their midst of evil nations like the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, all those ites that you read in the Bible, hard to pronounce names. They're about to be around those people. So the Lord said, fear God. Be God-fearing among a perverse culture. You see, since they were lacking in the reverence of God in the past, Joshua wanted to challenge them. Fear God and serve him faithfully. And the other thing that he said, commit to serve God in sincerity and in faithfulness. Fear God and serve him faithfully. The word insincerity in the ESV is more serve God with authenticity, honestly, and in truth, faithfully. Now, like I said, the people were lacking in the zeal because they were, and that word serve can be translated in other translations as worship God with authenticity, in sincerity and in faithfulness. You see, the people were lacking in their zeal because they were worshiping other gods alongside of Yahweh. You see, they were struggling being just faithful to God because there were so many other deities, so many gods that people have made. And so when you are surrounded like that, how are you going to just focus on one God when everyone else is worshiping many gods? And Joshua said, hey, let me just read that text again. Verse 14 and 15. Therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. And then he said, put away the gods that your forefathers served beyond the river. That river there is the Euphrates River. That is very much around the Persian Gulf. That used to be around there. I don't know if it's called Euphrates now, but that's where that river was. And that's where the Lord got Abraham. Abraham must have been a Middle Eastern man from that region. And then he brought him to west, to the land of Israel. And that's where the whole Jewish nation was birthed from him. So they served beyond the river and in Egypt. And he says they served, in verse 15. They served beyond the river and in Egypt and served the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. So Joshua is challenging the people to serve God, to worship God alone. And you know that's going to be hard for them because they were, I just don't get it when I read that. You know, I had to pause for a moment because I realized Joshua is the only one who challenged the Israelites to get rid of the idols. 40 years with Moses, he never told people they were worshiping God along with other gods, other idols. So he said, put away the gods. Put him away. That means they brought him, they're about to bring him into the land of the promise. Put away, he said, put away the gods that your forefathers served beyond the river. So your forefathers, your great-granddaddy served those gods, and now you're bringing them because they became family gods. And you bring them with you into the land of the promise unto this leader, Joshua, say, hey, put him away. Serve God faithfully. You cannot serve God faithfully when you're still worshiping other gods too. So your heart is divided between Yahweh and many, you have compartmentalized your heart with Yahweh and many other gods. How are you going to serve God faithfully if that's your case? In order to serve God with sincerity and in faithfulness, you must make sure that God is not competing in your heart with other deities, with other gods. He said, get rid of those gods, idols that you have been worshiping and your great-granddaddy worshiped. You see, to me, it amazes me that they brought those deities with them, statues, idols, they were worshiping along with God. And you see, God was still faithful to them for 40 years, even though they were not completely worshiping just God. They were just tempted so many times to worship other things. And now, finally, Joshua said, hey, before you go in and enjoy your inheritance, serve God faithfully, put away those gods. You know, that can be hard for a lot of people because they say, hey, you got to put away those gods that your great-great-granddaddy worshiped. And people say, well, that's their memories. How am I going to? They're not going to help you. You know, serve God faithfully. You know, they were worshiping. I mean, to me, it just boggles my mind. They were still worshiping idols for 40 years. One of the first commandments? Thou shalt not have gods before me. I'm the Lord your God. And you're still having gods? I mean, come on now. And it's like, don't make yourself an image. And they just, Joshua had to tell him, put away those gods. He knew that they had him in the camp. Put away those gods and serve God faithfully. You see, the Israelites were becoming a polytheistic culture, just like everybody else around them. They were being influenced by those nations surrounding them. But Joshua challenged the people to just worship God and get rid of those man-made gods that they had. They carried with them, and they were about to go bring them into the land of the inheritance. You see, my friends, you and I must examine ourselves. I mean, especially this new year with new resolutions. And to realize in my heart, do I have anything else competing with God? Is God, Yahweh, Jesus Christ, is he competing in my heart with other things that I have made them into gods? And you know, anything has the potential of becoming a god. Even our computers, our phone. I mean, sometimes we cannot. People talk today like, I don't know how y'all lived without cell phones, because now, like, they cannot fathom going back without without their phones. It's like we make those things into our gods. Our lives are dictated by these things that we have. Now, don't get me wrong, those things are great. But sometimes we gotta make sure that they don't just, that we don't live for them. They're to help us. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you can put them down occasionally. You know, and so don't let those things become idols. Anything can become an idol. My TV program, like I don't have time for anybody because that comes on at 7 o'clock and I have to be there. You know, it's like, how about maybe somebody else, maybe somebody needs you, but no, you don't have time because now that's my thing. That's my me time. And we live in this culture, you know, that it's all about me, me, me. And so like, but this is, and so my friends, my question, the challenge that I want to see, and I want to, you know, like I said, I had to preach this sermon to me too, is first, what is competing in my heart for God? It's God over here, but I have other things that I have made them into gods, and now I'm not surrendering my heart just completely to the Lord because I have other things, hundreds of gods in my heart. Just like the Israelites were here, this was their case, and Joshua had to tell him, put away those gods. If you want to serve God faithfully this year, he cannot be competing in your heart with other deities. If you want to serve God faithfully and with authenticity, he has to be number one. Because he said it, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And you know what that before me means? Around me, in front of me. No other gods but me. Because I, the Lord your God, I'm a jealous God, he said. And so imagine, maybe we need, it's taking an inventory, self-examination. What, Lord, what is competing in my heart? I mean, how many of us, sometimes we don't even have time to read the Bible or pray. You know, everything else have taken our time. And yes, culture, I get it. We live in a fast-paced society around New York City where you are, and you work a lot of times. But that's why the Lord created the Sabbath, so that we can have a time of rest. And maybe during that time, we can just focus and say, you know what? Let me just pause and remember and give thanks to the one that brought me here, to the one that has given me my job and my health. Let me just dedicate some time for him. So get rid of those gods, those idols that you have lifted up. And you and I, your gods might be different than mine, those ones that maybe we have lifted up. And we just have to examine ourselves like Joshua is calling us and challenging us to today. So commit faithfully to serve God this year and get rid of those idols in your life. Like I said, anything has the potential to become an idol. What's an idol? Something that you worship more than God. So what am I worshiping more than God? It can be, even family can become an idol, by the way. Even the TV, I mean anything. My car can be an idol. So if I let, you know, like I'm focused so much on that I just... Everything has to be in the perspective. So what am I serving more than God himself? Because, you know, we also have to realize everything that we have, really, is not even ours. Everything we have is God's. And he can take him away anytime. And that's why it's like we have to place things in the proper perspective. You know, so this year is to challenge ourselves. And Joshua said, fear God, that we don't take the fear of the Lord for granted, that we fear God even more. Lord, like that we stand in awe and respect him. You know how many times we come to church and we're not even prepared to worship God. It's like we have lost it. Lord, you deserve my adoration. You deserve my reverence. That's the word for fear right there. And it says serve God in with authenticity, in sincerity, and in truth. Commit to faithfully serve God this year. Now, but it's interesting because I can just, like Joshua, I can just challenge you, I challenge myself, but eventually the choice is going to be yours. Look at what Joshua told him. Verse 15, if it is evil in your eyes to serve God, to worship the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are dwelling. So choose this day whether you're going to serve the gods of your ancestors, of the gods, the cultural gods that are here, the Amorites are serving. So you have three choices right there. You're going to continue serving those gods because your great-great-granddaddy did it, or you're going to serve the ones that are around you, or you're going to serve Yahweh. Joshua said, he knew already what choice he was going to make. He said, choose this day. You know, Joshua's saying, I cannot make that choice for you. You know, I can preach a sermon, but I cannot make that choice. My job is to announce and challenge ourselves, challenge me. I got to make my own choice, and you have to make your own choice. Choose this day, he said, whom you will serve. You see, it boils down to those two scenarios. You're either going to serve God, or you're going to be serving something else. There's always two options right there. The Israelites, they thought that they could serve God with other gods, other idols. So Joshua says, serve God or serve Serve the Lord, or serve, or you're going to be serving the other gods, the idols that you have, and you're going to become an idolatrous people. So choose this day, he said, whom you will serve. See, like I said, Joshua couldn't make the decision for the people. They had to choose. You know, there's so many things that, you know, people can challenge ourselves, but at the end of the day, it's going to be up to you. What you're going to do with your family? What you're going to do for you? Because the choice is yours, based on what people will tell you. So we always have to choose. And thank God that he created us with that capability, with that ability that we can choose. And he will never take that away from you. That's why the Lord wants you to love him, because you choose to love him. That's why the Lord wants you to worship him, because you want to worship him. Not because my mom told me that I need to worship God. That doesn't work like that for God. He wants you to worship him because that is in your desire. You have selected. You have chosen. Say, Lord, I'm going to worship you in the midst of so many demonic gods and so many deities. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to surrender my heart just to you. We had to make that choice. For us, you know, we're surrounded by so many different gods in our society. Today we have New Age thinking, or we have political correctness, or relativism. When people tell you, oh, truth is relative. It's whatever is true to you. So we're surrounded with so many gods, and sometimes we bring that into the body of Christ, into the church. Humanism. You know, like ideals that, you know, you are God, that you can be, you know, that you are one with nature. So many things that will go against what the Lord is already saying. So we still have a lot of gods around us. Many, many. That's why the choice is going to be up to us. Who or whom will you worship in 2021? This is why the first sermon of the year, we want to challenge ourselves, like examine ourselves. Who are we worshiping beside God? And who are you going to commit yourself to worship in 2021? The challenge is going to be up to you. Now, Joshua knew what choice he already going to make, because that's why he said, as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. Like, I don't know what you guys are going to do, he said, but I know the choice. As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. Choose who you're going to worship. I cannot make that choice for you, but I know what choice I'm making. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, it's interesting, Joshua challenged the Israelites, and you know, when you read the story, they accepted that, they embraced that challenge, and they did exactly what they pledged to do. Do you know that Israel served God during the lifetime of Joshua? They said, look at what they told Joshua. Then the people, verse 16, the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers from the land of Egypt, and out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord Yahweh drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, the people said, therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Amen. Amen. They accepted the challenge. They committed themselves to serve the Lord. And then look at what Joshua tells them in verse 19. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, and he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done good to you. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they say, yes, we're witnesses. He said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and put in a place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord. It has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. So the people, the nation of Israel, said to Joshua, we too will serve the Lord. And they reminded themselves of the history. So yes, it was him who delivered us and brought us here. We too will serve the Lord. Joshua reminded them, said, make sure that you know what kind of commitment you're making. He said, because God's going to hold you accountable. You say, Lord, I'm going to do this, but then you don't do it. He's going to hold you accountable. He said, you know, he's a holy God and jealous. He said, Joshua wanted the people to understand what kind of commitment you're making. He said, yes, we'll do it. That's why he said, you might not be able to serve the Lord. He's a holy God. And I see the history. I see what you've done in the past. So make sure that you know the commitment you're making, because God will hold each and every one of us accountable to what we promised to him. He said, he might do harm later on after he's been good to you because you violated his covenant. You see, the word has that, the Bible has that word covenant. It's an agreement. It's a pact that people made with the Lord. And so Joshua and the people made a covenant with God that they will serve the Lord. The people made a pledge to serve God faithfully. And I love it because they did exactly that throughout the lifetime of Joshua. After Joshua and those elders died, there was a different story. People forgot the Lord. But everyone that said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord, they did exactly that. They embraced that challenge. They chose to worship God. They listened to Joshua. Remember, they said, we're choosing to obey God and listen only to his voice. In order for them to do that, they needed to get rid of all those gods and statues that they brought with them. Joshua, like I said, he reminded the people that commitment. But people committed themselves to serve God. They said, we will serve the Lord. Now, talking about commitment and covenant, think about in our own lives, in our own families, what do we need to throw away this year in order for us to fully serve God faithfully and with sincerity? What do we need to throw away? What do we need to just like really reevaluate, because, you know, it's really taking the time with me and God. It's like I need to throw that away because it's turning into a God now. What do we need to throw away? Just like Joshua said, throw away those gods and yield, surrender your heart to the Lord. If you're one of those people that make year resolutions, think about what kind of commitment will you make to God this year? Joshua challenged the people and they did it. What kind of commitment? I had to make a commitment to the Lord. You had to make one. What kind of commitment will you and I make to God this year? Will you faithfully serve him this year? Will you faithfully worship him this year? Because one thing that I know for sure, I don't know what 2021 is going to bring, but I know one thing for sure. You ready? God's presence is still going to go with us. Amen. Just like it went with Israel. The other one is, God's still going to be faithful with us. History through history, this church has been here 50 years, and I have gone through a lot, and it will continue to go through a lot. But that thing that was constant in Israel history, it's going to be constant in this church, and it's going to be constant in your life if you let them. God's presence is still going to go with you, and because he's living in you, and his faithfulness is going to be evident through all generations. You're going to be telling your kids about how faithful God has been to you, because he is constant. A lot of things might change this year, but his faithfulness and his presence, that's all we're going to need. Amen. To get us through 2021. So, will you faithfully serve him and worship him this year? You see, talking about God's faithfulness, it's not even a matter of question. The question will be, how faithful am I going to be to God? How faithful will you be to him? Because he's always faithful. Paul says, when we are faithless, he remains faithful. Man, isn't that amazing? Thank God that we serve a faithful God, that even when we misbehave and we look the other way, he remains constant. He remains faithful to us because he will never leave us or forsake us. So how faithful will you and I will be to God, to the God that we claim to worship? But again, my friends, church, those of you listening, the choice is going to be yours. Choose this day whom you're going to be worshiping, how faithful you will be to him. Because in 2021, his presence and his faithfulness, we're going to be talking about that in 2022. May God bless you. Amen. Would you pray? Amen.